Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You're listening to the Birmingham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, the station giving the fans a voice. We've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. Well, it's been a brilliant run for Birmingham City. Not only were the team unbeaten in 13 games in all competitions, it was 10 unbeaten in the Championship. And even this show was going from strength to strength on the back of it. But we are in uncharted waters here. Unfortunately, finally talking about a defeat for the side. And it wasn't to be against Reading. We're going to be picking apart that one and looking at those rumours and photos of Jude Bellingham at Man United's training ground. What do we make of that? Plus, getting back to football with the Midlands rivals West Brom on the weekend. We start at the top, and the man to help us with it is James Jenkinson from Birmingham Fan TV. James, first defeat in 11 Championship games, not to be on the weekend, but it actually started quite bright, didn't it? Once again, that man Hogan capitalising on an error and putting the Blues in front.
Hiya, Charlie. Yeah, I mean, I think, do you know what, I think we've jinxed it. I think this run's never going to come to an end, and all of a sudden we get two defeats in a week. It was a bit disappointing, really. It wasn't a great week for Blues, if I'm honest. But we showed signs a bit that we were rocking a little bit, and obviously nobody's going to go unbeaten in the Championship, especially. I think it's incredibly hard. But yeah, I mean, obviously I didn't see it coming when Scott gives us the lead in the opening 15 minutes, and I thought that for that opening 20-25 minutes, we were awesome. I thought that the only disappointment was that we weren't 3-0 up. Very wasteful in front of goal on Saturday. Hogan missed a sitter, as to speak, and that's a rarity for him. I think he was underneath the bar. The ball kind of bobbled up and he puts it over. Bellingham has a good chance. Duke has a good chance. So we should have been 3-0 up, but obviously, yeah, he puts us ahead with another great finish, and that's what he does. He latches onto those sort of mistakes, opportunities in behind, and he's very quick and he's got a great eye for goal.
Yeah, I don't want to be dramatic here, James, but he has been really a mini revelation for the Blues, and you spoke about it there. He had another chance, and we could have easily been talking about 2-0 to Birmingham, game out of sight. They've ended up losing the game 3-1, and it just shows you the fine margins in the game and how quickly it can turn.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if he puts that chance away, we can't blame him, because what's it, 7 goals in 8 league games. Fantastic record. Who else could have foreseen that when he came? I knew he would bring something to us, but I certainly didn't think he would be as effective as he has been. But yeah, if you'd have put that goal away, I think the game's beyond their reach, if I'm perfectly honest. There's a few things that were conspired against us, or we kind of let ourselves down with, that maybe affected the result. I think another refereeing decision let us down again or two. But yeah, Scott really, if he'd have took that one away, we probably would have been talking about a different outcome.
Yeah, and Reading really came out strong in the second half. Pep Clotet afterwards really just saying, look, you know, the squad's thin, you know, we're feeling the effects of a long season. We couldn't really keep the pace. And that was a little bit disappointing, that Birmingham just could not stay alongside Reading.
Yeah, I think, I don't know how complimentary I'm going to be about Reading in such words. Not that they're a bad team. I just think that we kind of allowed them to be that good in the second half. I think that signs were showing in the back end of the first half, last 15 minutes. We allowed them to almost control the game, dictate the game, keep the ball. We couldn't get the ball off them. And I know that we've kind of, you know, adopted a little bit more of a counter-attacking style of football in the last couple of weeks. But it was a bit ridiculous how deep we were at home on Saturday against a relatively shaky Reading team, and obviously they came out second half, and they kicked on from that and scored two quick fire goals, and all of a sudden, from being 1-0 up and cruising, you're talking about chasing the game at 2-1, which didn't suit us, and that allowed them to kind of hit us on the break for the third and kill the game off.
Yeah, and James, we're talking about a Birmingham side that were unbeaten in 11, 13 before the FA Cup game in all competitions, and then Pep saying that afterwards, look, we've got a really thin squad, we're feeling that effects, and that is true, you know, the boys have worked their socks off in that run, but there is still a few games to go. Does it sort of maybe not bode well for this final stretch now because, you know, maybe the players are a little bit burnt out?
Yeah, I think that one of those players that's burnt out is Bellingham, the man we're going to talk about. I think he was kind of saying around 55, 60 minutes, I need to come off, boss. You could see he was flagging and he came off. And I think that we've put so much on him this season because he is that good. You know, I'm not surprised we've used him as much, but you know, you need to also be clever about how and when you take him out of the team. I think that he did the right thing resting him last couple of games. But, yeah, he's right. The manager's not necessarily making excuses. But I said in January, you know, we lose Bella. If we lose a striker, we are in so much trouble. And, you know, I think Bella's been a massive, massive loss for us. Since he's gone out of the team, we've really not looked as good going forward. And we've lost a lot of our ability to keep the ball almost. So yeah, I think he's right, and I think all it's done is highlight where the club needs to strengthen in come the summer.
Yeah, strengthen come the summer, and we're going to talk about Bellingham in just a second. You know, you're saying maybe someone who is a little bit burnt out, the amount of minutes and games he's playing, still only 16, not yet 17, and signing those professional terms. Let's talk about it, because I know Blues have expressed the hope that they can keep him, can't sign that contract. James, we spoke about him maybe joining Dortmund and how they develop players. Seemingly Man United are leading that race, photos of him at the training ground, and we know he's a young boy, and you've said on this show, and I have to give you full credit, you want the best for him, and he'll still be kind of, you know, it all started with the Blues, and you'll be proud of that. It was still difficult to see, though, him at Man United's training ground and get him photoed when it is mid-season.
Yeah. I think the club are trying to be as balanced with this as possible. We've seen at times that, you know, Harvey Elliott is the main example, that players can instantly just go, no, we don't want to sign that contract, and he can walk out for a minimal compensation fee. I think the club are trying to be reasonable and saying, look, yeah, no problem. You know, you go out, have a look at these clubs, what they can offer you, training facilities. You know, go and talk to them and see what they have in mind for you. And they want to, you know, especially his parents, want to make the best decision for him, which is, for me, perfectly acceptable. Yeah, of course, it's difficult seeing him elsewhere, but we all know that that point will come at, you know, at some point. So let's start the negotiating now as such, and make sure that everybody around the table gets the best deal, you know, especially Bellingham.
Yeah, it gets the best deal. We're hoping so. I know it's even difficult to talk about it. James, I also wanted to speak a little bit about, we know that this has been a fantastic run, but they still actually haven't won a game at home since October, Birmingham. And we're talking about the run, and that kind of masks that a little bit, didn't it? You know, they've slipped to one place with 16th in the defeat. But why is that, that maybe some of this form has come away from home, and that's where we've seen the better performances on their travels?
That honestly, that's a hard one to answer, if I'm honest. I think that I don't want to blame the state of the pitch. I really don't. But it's hard to ignore the fact that the pitch is ruined for the season, and it's going to need some major work in the summer to get it back to a good playing surface. And that's, you know, fair play for helping Coventry out, but it's hindered us. And I think we haven't actually been able to play the football that we were intending to play start the season. When we go away from home, surfaces are slightly better. Bristol City, for example, when we played there, and QPR have got a decent pitch, and we can play some better football. But I don't know what it is at home. I think maybe teams are coming and setting up in a counter-attacking sort of way, and when we want to play like that, it doesn't help when we're playing at home. So I think we need to find a way of counteracting that and being better on the ball at home, and being, you know, all-round a more dominant team at home, because for me, the recent statistics are showing that, you know, statistically, we're not keeping the ball well enough, we're not holding on to possession, we're losing the ball quite a lot, and we're not fashioning enough chances. If it wasn't for Hogan being as ruthless as he is in front of goal, we'd be struggling incredibly, you know, and we can't keep relying on Duke. So, yeah, we've got lots to work on. The manager's got a lot to ponder on tactically, but you know, we go away from home this Saturday, and hopefully where we've been stronger, we can pick up a result.
Yeah, and we will be talking about that massive Midlands clash with West Brom in the second half. James, it's rare for me and you to have a negative on the show, talk about a defeat, but there was some positive news for Birmingham coming out. Obviously, they have been cleared of breaching EFL guidelines, cleared of that points deduction. Great news. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I was. I think we'd spoke about it previously. We touched on it anyway. I was very, very, very confident that nothing would happen. And I think the reason for that is that the charge against us was incredibly, it was laughable almost. You know, to try and punish a club for not sticking to a financial plan when that plan was to, the EFL were trying to enforce us to sell players like Adams last January when the bids on the table were sort of 8-9 million, and that were making a mockery of us when we hold on to him for 6 months, sell him for 16 million, we double our money. That's at the point where you should be allowed to break that sort of financial plan and for the better of the club. It's not like that they were trying to keep him. They were just trying to get the best deal. And I think that the EFL focusing on us for that, when you've got teams like Charlton, who, earlier this week have gone into a massive problem again. They've run into another wall where the EFL really could be held accountable again. I think that they need to stop focusing on us now. I think that the club have learnt their lessons. They've been told off, they've had the slap on the wrist last season, and now, let us move on, let us learn from our mistakes, and if we make them again, then come and punish us again. But I don't think that plan, I don't think we necessarily did anything wrong.
Yeah, and that's why they've been cleared of it. James, it's like you're taking the questions out of my mouth. I was just going to mention Charlton. I'm going to talk more about the situation with Emily and talk a little bit about what is going on in the EFL, the coronavirus, and looking towards that super clash with West Brom on the weekend. Love Sport. You're listening to the Birmingham Fan Show on Love Sports Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, I was just joined with James Jenkinson from Birmingham Fan TV. And as we always do, we got the double this evening because now delighted to say Emily Drakely joins us from Birmingham Fan TV as well. And you can join us. Why don't you make it a hat-trick? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. You can put a question to myself, James, Emily. Have your say on the Blues this evening. Emily, it's really good to get you back on the show. A couple of weeks since we've spoken, and sadly, unfortunately, we've got you back on a week where Blues are just in a little bit of a hangover, two game defeats. What are you making of it?
Hey mate, it's been a bit interesting really. I think when we went to Leicester, we almost expected to not to lose necessarily, but we expected it to be a tough game, and I think we did hold on for quite a while. We didn't play great football, but we defended really well. And to concede that goal in the 82nd minute was a bit of a kick in the teeth, really. But I sort of expected it watching the game and didn't expect us to get anything. And we squandered a few chances at the end. But yeah, and then Reading, it was crazy, actually. We were on top probably for the first 20, 25 minutes. And then we just went downhill and we looked terrible, and we made Reading look really good. But it's a shame that the unbeaten run's come to an end. But hey, it had to come to the end at some point. But we've done so well recently, and we've lost key players in the process in the last few games. So I think we've done really well this season to be where we are and to achieve what we've achieved. And I think that all in all, it's not been so bad.
Yeah, it's not been so bad at all, especially where we started the show. That they hadn't won for six games, then they had this 13-game unbeaten run. It's really got the Blues fans together and shown what they are capable of next season. Emily, it's always good on this show. We're talking Birmingham. That is what this takeover is. But there's obviously a bigger story at the minute, bigger news. It is the coronavirus, more than football, more than sport. Sports all around the world, especially in America, the NBA, the NFL, all coming to a halt. You know, even the golf a little bit. The EFL have just announced, literally in the past hour or so, the games are still going ahead. You know, fans can attend, but we're hearing possibility of postponements, empty stadiums. What are you making of it all?
I think it's a really tough one because obviously you've got to think of people's health. I mean, there's a lot of invisible disabilities, people you can't see. You've got to be wary that people have underlying health conditions. And obviously it's something that we don't really know too much about yet and we don't have a cure for necessarily. So you've got to be wary and you've got to think of other people and look out for them. But then again, on flip the coin, being selfish is a bit annoying because it's, it's some people's all people look forward to every week. But then again, you've got to think it doesn't matter. It is something that you may look forward to, but people's lives could be at risk here. So you've really got to think, is it worth it? If we can postpone it, brilliant. If we have to cancel it, then so be it, because you really do have to put other people's lives first. And as annoying as it may be, and as important as it is, especially to me, to that my football club are to me, you have to think of other people, and you have to think of people's health. And I wouldn't want my family member going to a game and getting ill. And, you know, you've got to think that there are things sometimes in this world bigger than football, and this, unfortunately, is one of them.
Yeah, and this is kind of it. And managers have spoken out on this, haven't they, saying that, you know, if the fans can't go to the game, this is what sport is about. The fans are the lifeblood. And, you know, we're talking to you and James, Birmingham Fan TV, just how much they care. If they can't be in the stadiums, why are we even playing the games? And especially even in European games, fans are still travelling outside. You know, players can't do the handshake before, and yet they can breathe on each other for 90 minutes of a game and do aerial challenges and tackles. You know, if you can't play the games, postpone the games.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's very contradictory, the whole handshake thing, because obviously it's a contact sport. It doesn't matter whether you shake hands or not, you're still going to be touching other people throughout the game, whether you're meaning to or not. That's just the nature of the sport. But it's a horrible situation for everyone, really, because a lot of people do watch football on television, but you do not get the same sort of atmosphere and feeling and sense of excitement you do live at games. For me, it being live at a game is the best feeling ever. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you really do, you just got to look at it and think, are you putting your health at risk? Possibly. Are you putting other people's health at risk? Possibly, yes. So you've just got to think of that at the end of the day and think, you may be putting someone's life at risk, and you can't have that.
Yeah, it's so true. And there's also big news with Birmingham as well, again off the field. They were cleared of breaching EFL guidelines. James just spoke about it, and rightly so, they had done nothing wrong. And we're seeing in the news this week Charlton in absolute disarray. We're a little bit worried about the future of the club, so much back and forth. And again, the EFL really coming under fire. We saw what happened with Bury, you know, they went under. The EFL ratified this Charlton takeover, and now more problems. And it just shows you that Birmingham were doing everything by the book, and you should be pleased with the situation they're in when you look across at other clubs.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think this whole EFL situation across the board has been absolutely ridiculous. You look at governing bodies as people that are supposed to protect the sport and look after clubs, and they do, if I'm honest, the complete opposite. E.g. Bury, they could have done something to prevent them going completely. Bolton, they've been in a lot of trouble. They almost seem to be attacking Blues, so to speak, for situations that they don't need to. Maybe focus their energy on saving other clubs that need to be saved and stop needlessly putting time, resources, money and energy into fighting something that any businessman would have said that Blues had the right to do. That it was a completely ridiculous charge that they tried to charge us with. And their statement said all you needed to know in the manner that they put things out, that they just sounded so angry that we were cleared and they weren't vindicated. And I just think that the EFL, they have such a good purpose, but they do not do it right. And they put clubs in jeopardy when actually they should be doing things right and by the book and in a timely manner. Because if when they're not, situations occur and then clubs get into trouble.
Oh, it's so true. Clubs get into trouble, and they have looked at the Blues, but the Blues obviously found innocent of that charge, and it is a relief. And we look at now the next season under Pep and what they're building there. Who knows? It could be coming a lot sooner, Emily, because we don't even know the state of play. If EFL cancelled the season, what does that mean for other teams and Blues? Or maybe are they going to play more games into the summer? But the one game, and it has been confirmed because EFL games are going ahead this weekend, it's West Brom, Midlands clash. It is massive. You can actually maybe bring them back to that chasing pack. I know the fans will want that. What are you making of this game, Emily, and how much does this game mean to you and the fans?
We normally see West Brom as quite a soft rivalry, really. Yeah. It's definitely nothing like Villa and Wolves.
But I'm looking forward to it. West Brom are a very talented team. They're exciting to watch. And they're only 1 point behind Leeds as it stands. So they've definitely got something to play for to cement that automatic promotion place back for them. Because you never know what's going to happen there with this whole coronavirus thing, whether things are going to be postponed or they're going to end the season there and then. So they probably are trying to get as many points as they can anyway. But I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not sure how we're going to fare. Because we've been a little bit negative the last few games. We've lost Bella. Bellingham is tired. You know, our team isn't as strong as it could be. But I think we normally hold our own against the better equipped team, so to speak. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a really interesting game. And it's going to be a lot of fun to see how we line up and how we play against a really strong side.
Yeah, a really strong side. They are, they're sort of, West Brom, on their day, they can be brilliant, but then they do have a little bit in them sometimes when they can go off the boil. Emily, you know it's coming. How would a game play out, and what is your prediction?
Oh, I'm going to go with a 2-2.
Oh, 2-2.
Because why not? And we've got a goal in us, and they definitely do. And they've, I think, won two of their last five, and we were unbeaten before the last two games. So, you know what? Why not? Go into the game thinking positive, feeling positive, and try and get something from this game.
Yeah, and how are you looking at the end of the season, Emily? Because I know that, obviously, you're safe, and it'd be a little bit too much now to push into those playoffs, but you can still implicate, you know, other teams in and around you, or are you kind of just now even really looking already to the next season?
I think it's probably looking towards the next season, really. I think if we try and use players and understand how they work in different positions and try out different formations, I think now, towards the end of the season, is the time now where we can experiment a bit more, because once we are mathematically safe, that's when we can actually do that. But until then, I think we just need to try and get as many points as we can. But I quite like it when you get to the end of the season and you sometimes let some of the youth come through and try different things, because that's the time, really, when you are able to do that, when some other teams aren't able to do that because they have got fights going on like for promotion or relegation. But we're in quite a nice, secure place to be able to improve our team in other ways that other teams can't.
Yeah, it's so true. Emily, always good to get you on and have a chat with you. Emily Drakely there from Birmingham Fan TV. Really enjoy speaking to Emily and James. Just really know their stuff. And you can tell their passion for their team is so strong. And at Birmingham Fan TV, check them guys out for all the content. Big game with West Brom on the weekend. They've just fallen short of leading. How much can Birmingham have a say in this race? The Birmingham Fan Show is back, as it is every Thursday, 8:30 to 9:00. On Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.